gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm not sure if it's the Massachusetts primary or it was the cab ride here, but I...
Man.
You look...
That one made me puke.
Are you a little car sick?
Okay. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, barely. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, a big show coming up. Representative Ron Kind of the great state of Wisconsin on the big show today. But right out of the box, a man, there's nobody I would like to talk to more than this morning than Representative Joe Sestak of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to get his take on what happened. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. Not a great day for Democrats, but I'm curious on your particular take on this, because I know that, you know, I just saw some polling out of Massachusetts, and I think it's kind of what you and I have talked about, Congressman, is, you know, it's progressives that weren't excited about this that didn't get out and vote.
Absolutely. You know, people have to understand you don't vote for change. You fight for change. This is a persistent day-to-day effort that has to be done. And I don't think people should all of a sudden lose their courage over this. I find the same thing in Pennsylvania at times, is that there has become this acceptance for whatever reason of, wait a minute, we haven't done enough, maybe I'm not going to come out. Wait a minute. We voted for a man to take over the White House, not because of political calculation, because of audacity. But that doesn't mean that the Senate has the right people in it to help affect it. How could they, when even our own Democratic senator like Ben Nelson grabs a candy bar for his state at the end? I got to tell you something. We still have to pass a health care bill. Why? People are hurting.
And yeah, and I think we've been saying this, Congressman, from day one. You know, in my opinion, at least, you know, it's exactly what you just implied. I think where Democrats have blown it on health care is by not being liberal and progressive enough, and not being fighters. Like you say, we should have started with Medicare for all. We should have. I mean, you know, Howard Dean said yesterday George Bush would have gotten health care by now. You know, nobody wanted to start with reconciliation, but this has been going on far too long. And if you look at the polls, the American people were hugely behind health care reform and a public option. And, you know what I mean? From day one. And now after this year of bickering and Democrats backing down and them not explaining it properly and people buying right-wing lies, right?
Stephanie, that is a key point you just made. What I find when I – you were in the military. When I commanded a ship, I would have captain's calls every week. I'd sit down with a division, listen to them, and then tell them where I was going to go. And then I would work through all the divisions and then have the whole crew. And I just did that continuously. There was something about what you said about explaining. Look, I think at times, and the Democrats have to listen, leadership has to listen to what was said. It wasn't that they voted for the Republicans. It wasn't that they voted against the Democrats. It's that they voted against Washington, D.C. that doesn't seem to be talking with them. That doesn't mean they want to agree with everyone. But I honestly believe that we seized the White House not because of a great idea, but because we understood the process of America, of getting out there and letting them know who we were and that we knew who they were. And somehow in the debate, we were in an echo chamber down in Washington, D.C., instead of being out there well before August, of explaining how this helps the working family. I will argue that failure of leadership is what is how we have to take away. We weren't wrong. It's just that we went about it without touching them all the time.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, a lot has been said, Congressman, about that jobs is the big thing. I mean, I hope people understand, though, where the Republicans are today. When we've been talking about the jobs bill, not one Republican is for it. I mean, that's the problem, is they're not in this to help the American people or solve things. It's about winning politically, and that's what's, I think, the worst news about Massachusetts, is they're just going to, you know, stall or obstruct everything now.
With the establishment in Washington, D.C. is more worried about the politics and stalling stuff is exactly what is causing this anxiety. Look, the Senate has become a place where it's a deep freeze, and they know it. And I strongly believe that that has become a major source of the problem. Here's one other example. And the majority of people in Pennsylvania, just for example, and I believe it's probably the same for the nation, work in a small business. They work or own a small business. You know, the McDonald's, the local gas station, you know, the barber shop. And yet, I do believe that jobs bill we passed was good, but I still feel that we ourselves should have listened a bit more to the people back at home. So small businesses, can you help me a little bit? And we should have put some tax breaks in there. If you create a job, here's a tax break, because that's where the working family actually works. And so my take on it is that we're on the right path. It's just a little bit more listening to who and where they are that's hurting. We've got to remind people 14,000 Americans lose their health care every day. And 18% tax is placed on a small business employee where a majority of people work because they can't spread the risk. And so whatever happens, I hope that we continue to fight for the working family.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, I think the whole crux of this is that obviously you've looked at the polling that it's independence, that we've been losing. And the interesting thing in the polling to me is they don't like Republicans either.
Right.
It's not that they're offering something. I think, acknowledged this yesterday. People are angry. They're frustrated. And he said the same thing that swept Brown in is what swept me in. But obviously the process of governing is a lot. Once you're in, I think, Robert Gibbs said, they're mad at us now because we're in charge.
You're absolutely right. And you know from your military days, that's the right thing. We can only point to the past so much. Yeah, they torpedoed this economy. But to some degree, I think we've been less courageous than we could have been. Take the economic stimulus bill. If we had gone another $200 billion, small business tax cuts or whatever, we would have had my doctorate's in political economy. I worked on the modeling to see what would outcome. If we'd been more courageous rather than saying, whoa, we don't want to think we're tax and spend liberals, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We could have been a little bit better out of this. But you're absolutely right. They did not vote against the Democrats. They did not vote for the Republicans. They voted against that you're the captain of the ship, and they should look at us, the leadership. And I believe that leadership should have been out there sitting with a crew that was angry and explaining to them and working hard with them. Sometimes they just want some intercourse of discussion back and forth. And we weren't given a mandate. We were given this opportunity to lead. And let's get out there and be around this nation leading.
Right, and as a former Navy admiral, at the end of the day, you decide which way the ship is turning. Not every,
absolutely.
You know what I mean? And I do think that the president hopefully has learned from this, that I think, this was, he was not out there as clearly as he could have been on health care, and I think letting, overlearning the Clinton lesson and letting Congress write the bill has been a mistake.
Absolutely. As I've said on your show before, I believe, and others have said, look, he should have had his hand had been on the tiller more strongly, guiding Congress, forcing it through Congress, we would have been better. But at the same time, we wouldn't be where we are, in the sense of getting at least this far in health care without him. But that said, with stronger allies who similarly would have stood up and fought hard for this, we would have, I think, been much more successful. And I'll say it finally, he touched Americans. We have to do that every day as leaders. You should be living in your district, going to 10 events a day, like I love to do, just explaining. They don't always agree with the cut of my jib, but what they feel is, I'm not going to betray their trust, that I'm going to be working for them. And that's the essence. I think they felt we went to Washington and didn't listen. And we are governing now, and we have to be held accountable, and we shouldn't back away from that.
Congressman Sestak, I mean, I do think that it is particularly pointed in your case because, I think, like I say, what people really want is a Democrat with a spine like you. The message is not, let's go more moderate like an Arlen Specter. That's what we should be doing now. What we need is Democrats like you that are really going to fight for what the American people wanted when they put Obama in.
The people want principle. I mean, sometimes they don't always just want to agree with you. If you take Arlen Specter, I don't understand, and I'm running against the Democratic establishment of Washington, D.C., in my own state, where they said, wait a minute, here's a guy that actually
look what the Democratic establishment did for Massachusetts. I wouldn't worry about
it.
But
what they understand is, how could you support somebody who voted against covering infants under S-CHIP, or low-income pregnant women that are, you know, under S-CHIP, you know, the health care coverage that we give them? And all of a sudden, I'm sitting back and saying, wait a minute, Washington, D.C. establishment, I mean, it's exactly what you saw in Massachusetts is exactly what I decide, why I decided to run when I went through the 67 counties of Pennsylvania in July, saying, wait a minute, Washington, you've forgotten them, because I talked to only Democrats when I was going through, because it's a Democratic primary, and I was taken with how they felt Washington, the questions I was getting, what's happening down there, and that's where I understood that, much like a captain has to walk around the ship and not stay in his sea cabin, I hate these, always using these nautical terms, but it's not similar.
I like
what
it.
They want is
you're a
leadership.
Salty sailor, and I like it.
They want leadership that listens and then says, all right, here's the decision. I've listened, but here's what we're going to do, and I'm willing to be held accountable for it. And that isn't what was done.
Yep. Congressman Sestak, before you go, you know, boy, it's anybody's guess now, but health care, what is going to happen? I know there are just a million different scenarios out there.
I wish we had this interview in about an hour. When I'm done, I'm going into a caucus meeting to hear the latest, because yesterday we didn't have what they did. I think what you're going to see, we must get a health care bill through, because Americans are losing the health care at $14,000 a day. I think you're going to see some effort to do this, and I think you're going to see it done in a deliberate but a way that doesn't wait too long. That's what I'm hoping, because we can't just say, hey, guess what? We're going to leave an 18% tax on employees and small businesses and do nothing about it. So I think you're going to see that, but I'm going into a caucus meeting within the hour to hear if where they've done. My input has been, we need to continue to pass a health care bill because Americans are hurting.
Yep,
and Pennsylvania's
absolutely.
Had a doubling of its premiums in the last 8 years. We can't keep this up.
Yep, absolutely. Well, aye, sir. now I'm going to be speaking like that all morning.
you keep spirits up, all right? We're going to
all right.
This is we must for American working family keep going.
Congressman Joe Sestak, a Pennsylvania future senator, thanks so much for taking
thanks
time
for
us.
Me. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you, sir. There he goes.
He's
I like the cut of his jib. I was listening to Starboard when I started the show, Chris, and now
he's
full steam ahead.
He seemed to be under the impression that you were in the military, though.
I think that's what I didn't know whether he meant in his military.
No, he meant you.
I think he thinks I'm Randy Rhodes. That's
I think
okay.
so. I think I that care. Was it. Yeah.
Whatever gets him on, that's fine. I didn't want to correct. I was my military.
Huh? What?
All right.
All right. Forget it. He's rolling.
Once a Navy admiral, always a Navy admiral.
That's right.
That was the most nautical terms he's ever used, I think.
Yeah. I like all that right. man. I really wish I lived in Pennsylvania so I could vote for him.
Yeah, I love that some Democrats, Chris, from this are going to take, oh, I think we need to be more timid. That's what people really see. It's the moderate friggin' Democrats that have gotten us into this mess.
You know what, though? That's what the leadership is putting out there. Oh, yeah, we need to be a lot more timid, including the president.
I will get to all of that.
Oh, okay.
Get me started.
Are you finally going to actually say something against President Obama?
You'll see when we get back, won't
all
you?
All right.
In the meantime, you know, I back up my computer with Carbonite Online. If you don't, why? I don't even know what to say. It's the best common sense I've ever given you. Imagine losing everything on your computer. If I lost my show stuff, my financial documents, my leases, I've just moved from L.A. to New York, I'd be toast.
What if you left your computer in the cab? That almost got you sick this morning.
I was just wanted to get out with the contents of my stomach, frankly, this morning. But, yeah, a laptop you can replace. The stuff on it, as you know, you can.
Right.
It backs up your PC or your Mac automatically whenever you're connected to the Internet. It's safe. It's secure. Imagine losing everything on your computer right now. Now imagine the relief of getting it back with Carbonite. Remember, you got to back it up to get it back. Sign up today. Just $55 for the entire year. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for this special offer for my listeners. 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com right now. Enter that offer code Stephanie for your free trial and 2 months free if you subscribe. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. 20 minutes after the hour. All right, more analysis. Oh, by the way, Mama will be doing this again tonight on Larry King Live.
Sweet!
Yes. Analysis of Wahapa in Massachusetts. I've been hanging out with Fred Willard.
Apparently.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, even I found that to be in bad taste.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lots of email on the Steph Cam yesterday when Hal Sparks was here.
I'm sure there was.
There was quite the hubbub. Apparently you could still see it at halsparks.com.
You can. Yeah. He recorded it and it's still posted up there.
He brought his little cameras in, which made me even sluttier than I normally am. I don't know why.
You grabbed your boobs and you shook them.
I did, and I licked the webcam. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, Steph, forget the cowbell. I want more video of you touching your box and flipping the webcam, the tongue. Yeah, I did. People could actually see me touching my sound effects box here.
Mm-hmm.
All that's missing is an ass cam. It's just a matter of time before you and Hal make everyone forget all about Pam and Tommy. That's true. This could get out of hand. This could get out of hand quickly.
Yeah, it could.
Chris in Yankton writes, Steph, great to see you on the Steph Cam trademark with Hal. Oh, that's right. With Hal, you've never looked lovelier, baseball cap and all. The belching is just gilding the lily. Yeah, for some reason, I understand reality television now. Because the
it makes you act slutty and gross.
Yeah, the show just evolved into me burping and acting slutty.
Yeah.
And people loved it. I don't... No. Not so much on the audio content of the show yesterday.
Yeah. Now we know why Jersey Shore has such huge ratings.
There you go. Oh. Figured it out. Cameras make us act like jokes.
Do we need to turn you like a bright orange and inject steroids into you? Because that, you know, that's
really?
A yeah, that's
maybe that's for next week. All right. So yeah, that's still up at halsparks.com, and he'll I think every Wednesday he's bringing his little camera somewhere, either New York or L.A. So there you go. Now you guys, if it's L.A. next week, you'll have to outdo Mama. You'll have to be. You'll have to light your farts or something.
I don't get slutty on camera.
All right.
Next time he comes into the New York bureau, you're going to end up with a Paris Hilton sex tape.
All right. So the analysis continues on the Massachusetts race. Mama will be on Larry King Live tonight, probably talking about just that. Mm-hmm. Because, as you know, according to Republicans, it's the apocalypse, and the end of the Democratic Party as we know it, whatever. Okay, so they have a slightly larger minority now is what's happened. I think there's so many factors in this, Chris, but I think we touched on it yesterday. Is, first of all, even Michael Steele said, I know, and I still think we're going to take back the House. Every race is different. And in this race, let's face it, we had a flawed candidate. We just did.
We did. However,
I wasn't even paying attention until, and then all you had to do was watch the speeches to go, oh.
Yeah. She's awful. She was awful. However, yeah. I think Michael Steele
and
said
plus,
that.
I mean, plus they were just complacent. I mean, I'm reading these numbers. I mean, she did no outreach at all to traditionally progressive constituents. You know what I'm saying? It's just that it's that taking it for granted that I think bit us in the ass. And this, a survey of Massachusetts voters confirms that decreased turnout among constituencies that historically have voted for progressive candidates combined with Brown's strong performance among independents delivered him the margins he needed. Key demographic supporters of Obama, unmarried women, people of color, younger voters, did not turn out in large numbers for Democrats. Right. The Massachusetts turnout reflects recent trends in Virginia and New Jersey as well. So that's the thing, Chris, and we keep saying, whether it's the health care bill or whatever, it's because it's not liberal enough, because Democrats are disgusted too now. Mm-hmm. To me, what I think is happening we'll break it down more clearly when we come back. I mean, it's important, and I'm glad in a way we got this wake-up call now. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What I really could go for right now, major distractions. Like tequila shots and a weekend with Brad Pitt. And Angelina.
Four minutes after the hour, the Dow is up 6 points. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We have a big show coming up. Representative Ron Kind from Wisconsin calling in. We'll get, you know, everybody's got a different opinion, don't they, Chris, on this Massachusetts thing.
Including the president, who seems to differ from you, Stephanie.
In what way? Are you trying to stir up trouble early on in the morning? Is that what you're doing?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh. Differ from me how, exactly? I think, actually...
He's saying pull back.
Give me cut four.
All right.
Because I think he was right about this.
My assessment of not just about Massachusetts, but the mood around the country. You know, the same thing that swept Scott Brown into office swept me into office. People are angry and they're frustrated. Not just because of what's happened in the last year or 2 years, but what's happened over the last 8 years.
I think that's true. Where did he say pull back? What are you talking about?
He's saying don't ram anything through until Brown is seated.
Yeah,
A lot of progressives are saying that part I do disagree with.
To me, I think that's just
well, that's the part I was talking about.
I thought you're talking specifically about the health care bill.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Chris. Look, we've all dealt with this. I'm sure, right? In our personal, professional lives, you know, it's like, you know, you try to be nice and play by the rules, and then and Republicans don't.
You get crapped on.
Yes. You know, and I'm sick of us being the party that gets the sand kicked in our face, and you know. So it's like I couldn't believe we couldn't rush quickly enough to go, oh, no, that would be impolite to try to pass this now without him waiting for him to be seated. You know what I mean? It's like
you sounded just like Harry
Reid. Republicans.
You sounded just like Harry Reid did yesterday. Oh no, we can't do anything until he's seated.
That would be impolite.
That would be impolite.
Yes, I was saying what Howard Dean said following Massachusetts. He said we've got to be tougher. I've said the Democrats are not tough enough. Bush would have had this health care bill done a long time ago. He would have gone through reconciliation. And that's the thing that we keep saying. It's like, don't you feel like you're in a parallel universe, Chris? You're going, what? They passed something that was horrifically bad for the country. The Bush tax cuts for the top 1% that got us largely into this deficit.
Don't forget the Patriot Act.
Yes, thank you.
They passed that as well. Just rammed it right through.
Where was the outcry? Did you hear Democrats screaming about how, oh, that's unprecedented. You know, like it's just, oh, it's politically unpalatable. They did it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My point is I was looking at these numbers. It's talking about the exit surveys show that it's a lack of enthusiasm among progressives that hurt Coakley. That's the thing. It's alienating your base to that degree. She reportedly did no outreach to communities of color, neglected to do any advertising in the African-American or Hispanic media. Voters under the age of 40 went to Brown by a margin of 52% to 46%. Younger voters in general turned out at lower rates, though, than in the past. The percentage of unmarried women who comprised the percentage of all voters fell 5 points from 2008, and self-identified independents flocked to Brown and drove 76% to 21%. But, you know, it says it right here, Chris, the thing we've been saying for a year. A separate poll of Massachusetts Obama voters found they didn't think the health care bill goes far enough. They support the public option, and they want Democrats to be bolder in their policy choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other thing that everybody keeps talking about, of course, is that Brown voted for health care just like this for Massachusetts.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people are saying this was more like the people of Massachusetts saying, screw you, we've got ours, we're not paying for the risk to get yours. You know, I mean, and that's the thing the Republicans do well, Chris. They play to people's worst instincts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have a job, it's the brown people. If your marriage is in trouble, it's the gay people. If you've got health care, you don't want to pay for those people to get health care. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the me party. That's all I can say. All right. Do I have calls? Here we
go.
Okay. How's that screener software coming that I've been doing the show without for 2 months?
Talk to Smaty and Smee.
Fine. Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Steph. Hello, Steph.
Hey. Hello?
Yes, hello.
Oh, there. Hey, you guys.
No, that was human error. Chris just forgot to turn up the your sound there. That's fine. I'm working with...
Like, is everything
do you understand the stress I'm working under, Steph, on a daily basis? Do you understand?
Oh, my Lord. It's, like, crazy. I was just so frosted yesterday with the independents in Massachusetts going out and voting, you know, for Brown. But truly, I think the big thing is she was really a boring candidate. And I really think we needed another dean to...
The other thing is, I don't think this would happen if Howard Dean was still in charge of the DNC. I think he would have seen this coming.
Well, yeah, and, you know, you have to remember the right-wing wackos are really mobilized. They are just so in touch with each other right now. We have to outsmart them. We can't sit back on anything and expect them not to come over and try and take over us. So mm-hmm. I also want to know how many people voted for the Kennedy that wasn't a Kennedy. I never did hear that in any of the stats, but you know, I don't know.
Right.
And Harry Reid's seat will be next. We really need to think about that.
Well,
because he's, you know, you can barely.
You know what? I have to say, you know, some of us think maybe he deserves that, you know?
But I don't want to say that. That's why I was saying everybody vote for Coakley no matter what, even if you don't like her. But apparently, no. So.
Right. Yep, absolutely. No, I mean, it scares me when, you know, Barbara Boxer, did you hear that, Chris? Barbara Boxer said we have to look at that every state is in play now.
Absolutely. Even Boxer's seat.
I was just going to say, oh, if that awful Carly Fiorina gets elected, that's it for me.
Yeah. You know what? Her people send me.
Seriously, how do you run a company into the ground and then get a huge golden parachute and then suddenly you're the people's candidate? What?
And her press people are on the verge of spamming me to death. I get like 10 to 15 things from them every day. Yes.
Really? What are the talking points that they'd like us to...
Oh, God. When I see Carly for California in the subject line, I just delete it. Yeah, I don't even look at it.
that stuff starts to go in my spam thing.
Yeah.
Anybody that sends me too much stuff, you're spam.
Yeah.
All right. Noel in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Mook, good morning. Listen, I have a first... got so many things. Yesterday, I was exhausted, too. But I have to start this off by saying, as I said to you guys before many times, my profiling of the parties is this. Democrats are lazy. Republicans are mean. And we tend to sit back and analyze everything that happens. And I think we kind of wait for bad things, for Republicans to do stupid things. And then we get angry and capitalize on it. That's not leadership.
Right.
Leadership
right.
is not waiting for something to happen. Leadership is making things happen. And Obama has not done that. And I love this guy, like so many people do. But
Howard Feynman wrote a great piece about how he can turn things around. And I think the good news is he is still personally popular. I think that, you know, but I think he's got to do things differently. I think he tried this. He tried the reaching out and the bipartisanship, and it just,
I was listening to Chris Todd or Chuck Todd on MSNBC this morning interviewing Mike Pence of Indiana, and he asked Mike Pence, what have you guys on the right and the Republican Party, what have you done to show your bipartisanship? How much has reaching across the aisle have you guys done? And then Mike Pence went on to say, well, you know what? It's a shame because every time we offer something, the Democrats say no. This is a height of projection, and it works for them every time because we as Democrats, we sit back and let them get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they've offered nothing but obstructionism. I mean, I love this. Did you hear what Mitch McConnell said? The president ought to take this as a message to recalibrate how he wants to govern, and if he wants to govern from the middle, we'll meet him there.
No, you won't.
What? What do you think he's been doing? And you've, like, snapped his hand off every time he reached it out, you
right.
know? I mean, that's don't you agree with Dean on this one, Chris? That's the message, is fight harder, have some principle.
Yeah.
You know, we're compromising ourselves to death already over here. Mike in Chicago on the president. Hello, Mike.
You know, I think that as far as my analysis on this thing goes, is that, you know, I'm proud to call myself a progressive, and I'll never stop doing that, no matter who asks me. But, you know, we have a situation here where the Democrats are acting like the photography club, and the Republicans are acting like the varsity football team. You know, we're not mean enough, we're not strong enough, and we're not resilient enough. And
I'm telling you, that's what I was just saying. Don't you think we've all dealt with this in our personal, professional lives?
Absolutely.
People that, you know, we play by the rules, the other person doesn't. You're like, I'm sick of us being the nice guy, us being the, like, oh, okay, well, no, that would be rude to go ahead and do that. And you're just, I mean, it is. It's infuriating.
And the one thing that we as progressives have to remember is that, you know, unfortunately, you know, the one thing progressives has to answer and ask ourselves an answer is, how are we going to get Ben Nelson, Mary Landrieu, Kent Conrad, Max Baucus to vote progressive? Because those six moderate Democrats are the problem. The Republicans are not the problem. Because they're boycotting Obama and they're fighting an insurgency against them. So now we got these six senators who are, in fact, obstructing health care reform. And,
no, I mean, look at it. We still have one of the biggest majorities ever. Can you imagine they're taking from this, oh, we better be more like Republicans? I mean, look at the polls. People don't like Republicans either. You know what I mean?
How are we going to get these six people to vote progressive? That's the question, because until we do, we don't have a chance.
Right. Yep. No, I hear you. I mean, look, Chris, I've been saying that, like, we did this to ourselves on health care, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
You know what I think is turning people against it now?
Republicans have pushed a lot more stuff through with a lot less of a majority than we have.
Yeah, and they pushed it through a lot faster. What is killing this thing now is that it's taken way too long. We've seen the sausage being made way too much, and it is ugly.
Yeah, and
ugly
are tired
as sin.
Of it. I'm tired of it. I was ready to be done talking about health care 6 months ago.
I think I came to the conclusion yesterday, I'm ready to scrap it. Really. Honestly, I am.
Well, I don't agree. We'll get into the whole healthcare debate. I don't agree. But all right, 45 minutes after the hour, back with more of our thoughts and yours on all of this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's all about fun. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I forgot I have the most awesome 1 degree of Kevin Bacon story ever.
You met Kevin Bacon?
Coming up. I'm not telling you yet. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The Dow was down 20 points. All right, talking about the fallout in Massachusetts.
How about that rally? How about that Scott Brown rally?
What about it?
The market rally. It's going down again today. The market.
Oh, I know it. Hey, what about that, Fox? What the Fox? I thought my 401k was going to be worth $1 billion after Scott Brown got elected.
Mm-hmm.
What happened there? All right. Senator-elect Scott Brown, fresh from raffling off his daughters.
I think it's important that we hit the ground running because there are some very important issues facing our country.
Yeah, and I got to hurry up and vote no. I got to be the 41st vote no. I got to stop some stuff. Come on, let's go. Okay, let's go to Mike in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. This is a bit about that special election, but also about the Democratic Party in general. And it's an analogy that you guys will like, because I used to work at an oldie station. And the oldie station was the only one in that market, and they played junk, like Gary Puckett and Union Gap and stuff. You know, it was horrible. And they wouldn't play anything after 1972, and this was like the late 80s. And we weren't playing what people wanted. And then suddenly, this other oldie station came into market and blew us out of the water.
Sure.
And we should have been acting like we had competition all along, and we weren't. And that's where the problem lies. And that's what happened in the special election, and that's what's happening with the Democratic Party. They think they're going to coast because of the last 8 years were horrible. But they're not going to coast. They got to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I agree with you. I mean, it's an overused phrase, Mike, the whole perfect storm. But I think it's true. It was a crappy candidate that ran a crappy campaign. You know, apparently the DNC was asleep. The White House was asleep.
Yeah.
And I frankly, do you agree with me? I'm glad that we've gotten a wake up call early.
He's gone.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I think there's still time to react, don't you, before the, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the Democrats were completely asleep at the switch here. I blame them.
Yep. Yep. All right. Katie in Hudson, Massachusetts, the scene of the crime. Hi, Katie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, Steph, I would like you to spread the word tonight that, you know, when we see 78% of the American people wanting a public option and or Medicare for all, you know, if we could vote on it, we'd actually get that, and Congress doesn't do it. The only explanation is that they're bought and sold by the insurance companies. And if the Dems don't get Medicare for all passed through reconciliation and have it take effect, like, within the year, you know, they're going to lose everything. I mean, Kerry seat's going to be up for grabs. I have voted in every election since 1984, and I will never vote for a Republican because of what they've done as far as torture and all that and introducing that into our lexicon. So I will never vote for him. But you're going to have to get me to come out and vote, and that's pretty bad because, I mean, it really has broken my heart.
I mean, I think he's making
so
a bad mistake.
I won't even go out to vote for Obama the next time if he doesn't get
You cannot to alienate, and you cannot take your base for granted. That is the energy, and you and I were part of it, that swept him into office.
Absolutely. Healthcare is crushing our economy. I mean, why doesn't anybody understand that other than the actual healthcare insurance?
Right. Yep, absolutely. No, I mean, you're right. We started out on the right side of this debate. We're still on the right side, but I think we bungled it terribly, and, you know, we're as much to blame as they are.
I agree.
All right, let's go to Dave in Massachusetts. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Oh, we have Dave in Michigan, not Massachusetts.
Well, wherever. Dave in some M word. Hi, Dave.
Thank you. Good morning. Hey, I have a question. If the message, well, you said that Coakley wasn't an enthusiastic candidate, and I guess I would agree with that. But if the message is so important, and your last caller touched on it, and the message is pretty consistent for every Democrat, and that would be health care reform, the economy, cap and trade, then why wouldn't you come out just to support the message as opposed to the candidate, knowing that everything would fall apart if your candidate didn't win? I don't get it. It just tells me that you don't believe in the message as an individual.
Me, you're talking about me personally?
No. Just people in general that didn't show up to vote.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, but I think the problem is, you know, again, like we keep trying to say, for instance, healthcare, you know, people largely were behind it. You know, but this is, now we're going back like a year ago, and I think that, you know, I mean, I think at this point people are like, well, I didn't want this mess we ended up with. I wanted health care reform with a strong public option. That's what I wanted.
You
know, I mean, Howard Dean said it again yesterday. There's not much real reform in this bill now. You know, I mean, I was hoping, Chris, that, you know, the reaction to this, like we talked about, is they'd follow Dean's advice. You know what I mean? And go back and get a real health care reform bill with reconciliation or however they have to do it. You know?
Sure. That's still possible.
That's the message you could take
this
election.
That is still possible, but I think so many people in the United States are demoralized about the whole process. It's harder to do now.
Right. Listen, we joined the I Hate Everybody party a long time ago, didn't
we? Yeah.
Claire McCaskill said, if there's anybody in this building that doesn't tell you they're more worried about elections today, you should absolutely slap them. Claire McCaskill has given us permission to slap each other this morning, and I feel like slapping someone. Damn it. Now I'm alone in this studio. If only I were there. I mean, Robert Gibbs, like I say, I think that he was right about that. He said the anger is now pointed at us because we're in charge, and rightly so. I mean, obviously, Obama ran on hope and change and whatever, and the problem is they're not delivering it the way people wanted it, and it worked quickly enough, and Howard Dean is right on this. George Bush, right or wrong, would have had health care through by now.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they use those tactics to get through crap that was bad for the country, that got us into this position. This would be good for the country. Senator-elect Brown.
Since the election is not in doubt, I'm hopeful that the Senate will seat me on the basis of those unofficial returns.
Yeah, and of course, being Democrats, we're like, okay, we won't do anything. We'll just sit with our hands crossed until you get there. We wouldn't want to make anyone mad.
Well, we don't need exit polls. We just trust the system because it worked so well for us in 2004.
John in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
I think that Democrats are missing the obvious political move here, and that is to take their ball and go home. I know it sounds crazy, but what if they just gave up? What if they said, okay, we can't do health care reform? So the system as we know it, the system that the Republicans have been defending with its bankruptcies and skyrocketing premiums and millions of people uninsured, that's the Republican system. Here you go, America. You get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, look, I think there's a lot of emotions out there right now, but Jim, hello, Jim.
Hello.
Lord.
I'm in early today.
Yeah, you could hear him breathing, couldn't you?
My goodness. I mean, do you agree that, you know, this is part of, the, you know, what's happening here is that, like you've been saying from day one, it's because the health care bill isn't liberal enough.
Right.
But now we have to break out that John Candy thing for our party, Chris, that you're going the wrong way.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not more timid. You, 58 minutes after the hour, back with, oh, my, the best 1 degree of Kevin Bacon separation story ever. Next
I got to hear this.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, the Dow is down 10 points. The Scott Brown rally continues. Thanks a lot, Fox. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget, Mama will be on Larry King Live tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Any idea who you're going to be on with?
No.
They don't tell you that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, anyway, and then you can go to HalSparks.com. People still talking about the Steph cam, the Steph and Hal cam yesterday.
There was a lot of sex.
Cameras. Pardon me?
There was a lot of sex or sexy
yes.
things.
Ken writes, Steph, I love the Steph cam and the sluttiness that it fosters. Believe me, I'd be all over your saggy fun bags. More spectacular ass, please. All right, I will.
Your ass is spectacular. I do have to give you that.
And you were doing some fun things with your tongue yesterday on the camera, I noticed.
Jim, I understand reality television now. Cameras just make you dumb and slutty.
but then how does it make the kids of the Jersey Shore orange?
I don't know. Was I orange yesterday?
No, just the kids on the Jersey Shore.
Mm. Oh, and I got my usual hate letter from, just to balance out the love letters, from my that guy, the Jay Watson guy, that writes really, really mean hate letters to everybody on the progressive side.
Oh, yeah. I mark him as spam.
Oh, no, I don't, because it's entertaining sometimes. Here's his love letter. This, can I have some music, please?
Sure.
Here's his love letter this morning. Oh, he's a big Sarah Palin fan, as you can imagine.
Wow. Mm.
People, speaking of cameras making you dumb. Good work smearing Sarah Palin. Staff, good morning. How's my favorite alcoholic left-wing mattress back skank today? Well, I'm fine, Jay. Thank you for asking. Listen, after a year of smears, stalking, and obsession with Sarah Palin, I'm stalking Sarah Palin now.
You're stalking her?
Yes, apparently. Apparently I'm obsessed. Because, unfortunately, I repeatedly get asked on television shows that ask me about her, I guess I'm... Trust me, I would rather have her name never have to pass my lips again.
Sure.
Oh, and her children. Oh, I'm also obsessed with her children. Look where we are today. Sarah Palin is a wildly popular multimillionaire with a record-setting best-selling book and a fat long-term multimillion dollar contract with the most successful cable news network in American history. See, his implication is, and I'm a big, what am I, alcoholic loser, mattress skank. Okay, by the way, I saw your picture for the first time on your website. Did you cultivate that look before or after Heath Ledger's Joker portrayal?
Ha!
Yeah, I guess he does a joke about makeup or something. Okay.
He's in love. He just doesn't want to admit it.
Yeah.
He wants to kiss me. He wants to date
me. He's the guy. He's like the little kid in the playground who's got a crush on the girl and goes up and spanks her in the ass and runs away.
Yeah.
Knocks my books out of my hands.
Yeah.
All right.
Just to get her attention.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Are you ready for my 1 degree of Kevin Bacon separation story?
Well, 1 degree of Kevin Bacon would signify that you actually met Kevin Bacon.
No, Kevin Bacon left a message on my phone machine yesterday.
Really?
I'm
sure it wasn't Francis
strange.
Bacon?
Pardon me?
Francis Bacon.
Never mind.
No, it was Kevin Bacon. No, I have, at long last, I have finished my quest for a dog walker here. And it turns out it's
Kevin Bacon's going to be your...
Kevin Bacon and Kira Sedgwick's dog walker.
Oh, wow. How cool.
Yes. And so, let me explain the story.
Where
it was
does
just
one,
weird.
Where does... I mean, do you have, like, a celebrity bulletin board that you go to?
No.
What? How?
Yeah, right. I'm like, yeah, like, I'm a celebrity. No, I, you know, because my nephew lives with me, but he travels some, and so he can't always do it. So I have, you know, I've had the whole dog door situation,
right.
You know, it's a whole thing. So anyway, I got recommendations from my vet. You remember the, by the way, I got a welcome card from my vet. Isn't that lovely? Can you see that on Skype, Chris?
He can, yes, I can, and he can afford to send them to you because he charges
yes.
you $1 billion.
Oh, it's a very expensive looking card. Yes, because I spent $800 for my dog's, you know.
Poop.
Diarrhea.
Problems. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dear Stephanie, Max, and Fred, welcome. You're special to us.
Of course, because you
or
give them a lot
of money.
At least
your credit card is.
Yes.
All of us here at Thrubber welcome this opportunity to provide quality health care for all your pet's needs. Well, of course you do. This is like what you get from your regular insurance company. We enjoy having you as a friend and client and look forward to a long and caring relationship. Expensive. Everything in here, basically it's code for expensive, Jim. Please contact us anytime you have a question regarding your pet's well-being. Sincerely, the folks at the Flarbon.
And have your credit card ready.
Yes. Operator standing by.
Anytime, in the least little worry, please call us. If you have the least little thing, bring them in. It'll hardly cost anything. All right. Oh, so anyway, I got a recommendation from them, and so I got a couple of names, and so the first one I called, she came over, she was very nice,
mm-hmm.
and she's, you know, but the thing in New York, it's like you have to give these people keys to your apartment is
sure.
what's a little troubling, and you just met them, you know, because,
right. Well, because they have to come in and get the dogs.
Yeah, well, yes, and put them back, and
yeah.
so that's what was a little, so anyway, so she said, you know, I have some references, and she wrote down some people and said, you know, if you want to, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and so she said, I one of them is Kevin Bacon. I can't give you his number, obviously, but I'll have him call you. And may I just say, Kevin Bacon was the first one that called, so I got home walking my dogs.
That's kind of cool.
Hi, it's Kevin Bacon. that's weird.
In that
and
deep, she, in
and
that
he
deep
gave
voice
her,
of
he
his.
Gave her a glowing recommendation.
Wow.
Was yes. he playing Footloose in the background?
No, but then I played Footloose the rest of the day.
Uh-huh.
My nephew had already listened to it twice. He's like, dude, did you hear it? Go listen. Kevin Bacon's on your machine.
Wait a minute, is he in your caller ID now? You need
no,
to check that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm done. What? I'm going to call him back?
Sure. Hi,
what,
Kevin.
What, prank call him, play Footloose,
I love,
and, play Footloose in the back?
Hi, Kevin. I loved it when you were in Footloose.
Yeah.
Remember that time?
It was awesome.
Like, he already left the whole message recommendation, but yeah, I'll just call him back just for that. Hi. I just wanted to, I wanted to talk more about the dog walker. Anyway, oh, my God, that one time when you did the flippy thing and all the little, like, sparkly things came down, I love that in Footloose. Remember?
You should call him back and say, thank you, sir, may I have another?
Yeah, because he was in Animal House, too.
Right.
And he was also the first person
I
to get
call
killed.
I just called him and turned into that Chris Farley character.
Yeah.
Remember? And then
that was
thing.
Awesome. And he was he was the first victim of the killer in the original Friday the 13th.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember in A Few Good Men, and then you played the other lawyer, and then there was a thing that you said to Jack Nicholson. With... Okay.
Yeah, he would love that.
By the way, is Kira there? I want to talk to her about the closer, whatever show we love it. Okay. He lives two blocks away, apparently. That's
wow.
what I'm told.
Well, yeah. Everyone lives two blocks away in Manhattan.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. There's only
so much room for people, yeah.
I told you I saw the best New York star sighting ever. I saw Jerry Seinfeld. Remember a few
yeah,
weeks
you
ago?
Did.
Who
yes.
are these people? One it's of them's Jerry Seinfeld.
He was walking his kid, and he was
walking,
singing a song
walking
or
his kid?
What?
Walking his, like you'd walk a dog?
She thinks that's what people do with
oh,
their kids.
Yeah,
no, walking hand in hand with his child.
Because that's what you do to your kids. You walk them.
Do they squat on the sidewalk?
I actually did see that once at an airport. Have you seen these things they have? They have these little, I don't know what they're little animal backpacks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just an excuse to put your kid on a leash.
On a leash, absolutely.
Because then there's a leash that's attached to the thing. So I think you can tell them it's like a game. Like, oh, look, you're a tiger here. But it's really looks odd.
Yeah,
because they're on a, the kid is on a leash.
Those kids are going to have major problems.
Make them wear a helmet
up
and drag a jungle gym behind them.
Right.
Like, I'm like my character. Yeah.
all right. So, so Jim, your take on this whole Massachusetts thing and the lessons. Yeah, I think some Democrats, I love this, have decided it means we need to be more timid. That's what it means. We need to be bigger pusses.
Which means more and more Democrats will stay away from the polls and become Kyles and vote for obscure third-party candidates. And we're going to crash and burn.
Yep.
Both this year
yep.
and in 2012. I know several people do that. I'm never voting for a Democrat again because
here's when you know the world has turned upside down. You know who's making the most sense? Michael Steele. Steele still proclaims pessimism about the Republicans' chances in 2010. He said, you just can't stop and think, okay, well, now we'll win in Maryland, we'll win in Delaware, we'll win everywhere in the country because we won in Massachusetts. He again said the GOP probably won't win back.
Every once in a while, he says something that makes sense.
No, watch out for that. Watch out for that. He is trying to lower expectations here.
I know he
because,
is. No,
yes,
I know
because
he is.
Obama raised expectations so high, and he's crashing and burning right now because of that.
Right.
Michael Steele is trying to lower expectations
saying,
here.
But I do think that, you know, and I think Randy Rhodes said this yesterday, too, that what happened is Scott Brown beat Martha Coakley.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are also saying that special elections sometimes do produce, weird results, and people shouldn't overreact and overinterpret it, you know, and particularly not the wrong. I mean, Nancy Pelosi said, and I thought this was correct, she said, we don't think a state that already has health care should determine whether the rest of the country should. But, you know, think progress, noting that a lot of congressional leaders are are taking the wrong message from it about this slowing down. Jim Webb, in many ways, the campaign in Massachusetts became a referendum not only on health care reform. I believe it would only be fair and prudent we suspend further votes on health care legislation until Senator-elect Brown is seated. Like, suddenly we're all, you know, it's golf audiences, you know. Oh, that would be impolite. Everybody whisper and just wait until Senator-elect Brown is here.
Well, that's how Harry Reid put it yesterday.
Evan Bay said, whenever you just have the furthest left elements of the Democratic Party attempting to impose their will on the rest of the country, that's not going to work too well. Jim,
what?
I read poll results. The people in Massachusetts said the same thing we've been saying. It's because health care reform doesn't go far enough.
Right, because of people like Evan Bay.
Thank you. Thank you.
We can't move further to the center. We're already center right.
Yeah.
We can't listen to Fox, who keeps calling Democrats leftists, because they're doing their bidding by just moving further to the right. I mean, Dennis Kucinich, there's a progressive. There's an unalloyed progressive guy. He's never going to be president.
I understand. All right, we'll give time. Jim's in a state.
Yes.
We'll give him a second to gather himself, and then we will continue on all those.
Harry Truman had a great quote. Given the choice between a Republican and someone who acts like a Republican, people will vote for the real Republican all the time. So,
By the way, we have a little bit of breaking news here. The
yes,
Supreme Court has released a decision on campaign financing. The Supreme Court has ruled that restrictions can be eased on corporations' spending on campaigns.
Oh, great.
Oh, good. We're going to get more corporate money.
Yeah, corporate money. Exactly.
That's what we need.
Oh, good news. Yeah, that's good news for everybody.
We're having a day.
Gee, that John Roberts is pretty corporate friendly, isn't he? Mm. That's weird.
Mm.
Hmm.
Mm.
Almost every ruling goes that way.
Mm.
All right, yeah, we're having a day. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more on all this as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's like a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, now with 90% less Stephanie, 100% less Stephanie.
Don't you hate it when you look up on the Skype camera and she's not there?
Apparently she forgot that there's a radio
there's
show
a radio
going on
show going
with her
on,
name on it.
And the music is ending. And
my bagel business I was taking care of.
You were what?
The bagel guy is here.
Ah,
I had to go
Stephanie.
Get the guy my money to
get
go get a thing. How long
purse.
Have we been on the air?
We've been on the air for about a minute now.
No way!
Yeah?
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
What? Yeah, I see you get up and leave like 30 seconds before we come back. What? Hey!
He thought it was my usual Skype prank, and then I actually didn't come back. Oops. Sorry. It's a thing getting food here. Well, all right, 23 minutes after the hour.
You know, you get there, you know, the show starts at 9. You could stop off somewhere and get a bagel.
Oh, no, Mama doesn't have time for that in the morning.
Well,
no.
Then maybe Mama should get up like maybe 10 minutes earlier.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Why do you, I moved 3,000 miles so I don't have to get up at, you know.
That's stupid o'clock.
Go to bed.
Insane o'clock.
Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Senator-elect Brown.
The number one thing I've heard is that people are tired of the business as usual. And what does that mean? That means the behind-the-scenes deals, the Nebraska subsidizing of Medicaid forever.
Huh?
Things like that have just drive people crazy.
Yeah, yes, you know what?
We need change from the change now. We've had too much change, so we need to change back.
Yeah, now we need to change back. It's the wrong change. Yeah. By the way, Jim, I was saying this earlier that, you know, he did what Republicans always do, and that is play your worst instincts. I mean, essentially, he kind of said to the people in Massachusetts, we have our health care, which he voted for, which is just like what we're trying to get for the rest of the country. It's kind of like, oh, you know, we've got our screw you, you know, that it's going to call, why should we want to pay for other people? Why do you want to, you already have yours, why
Nebraska.
Do you want to pay for other people?
You're going to pay for people in Nebraska?
Nebraska?
It's practically Canada.
Yeah, if he's talking about the Ben Nelson deal, I agree. This is part of the problem. Like I was saying, these moderate Democrats that we have to, you know, buy off to get to vote for something progressive. I mean, it's.
Why does Republicans don't have to do that? Why is it Democrats that
I know.
Have to?
We're wieners. Marvin in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Anthony
Welcome.
Well. Morning, Steph Luke. Hey, I got an update on the John McCain house auction. Didn't get the price they wanted. When you went into the master bedroom, suddenly you could see your breath and it became very, very cold. Don't know what that means. I'm just saying. It helped. Health insurance companies have actually put a dollar value on your life. It's about $200,000. The way that translates out is when you go, say, for a screening, like a pap smear, you know, insert your own joke here, but they get, they don't really want you to go get those, first of all, and if it becomes positive for something, they really don't want to pay for the next step. My daughter had one come back. It was suspicious. So her doctor scheduled her for a colposcopy, which is definitive. Went to the insurance company to see about prior authorization. They said, well, we don't pay for those as screening exams. So she had to pay $1,300 to get it done. Fortunately, she had a dad with some money.
Yep. All right, honey, thank you for calling. I mean, I think that's the issue, isn't it, Jim? It's like, you know, the people celebrating the Scott Brown victory the most, insurance companies.
Yep.
Like, great, we can still deny people with pre-existing conditions and drop them when they get sick. Yes!
Party! Party!
Party!
Yeah. Danny Milbank wrote in the Washington Post, if anything, Scott Brown's surprise victory in Massachusetts on Tuesday seems to have left the Republicans with belief that their party of no strategy is working. So we're going to get more of that.
Yeah, yeah, more of the same, exactly.
And
oh,
Democrats
by the
will
way,
get weenier and weenier.
Okay, what can we do to make
until
you happy?
Until we are the Who's in Whoville. We are here.
I know we have a majority, but it would be unfair for us to use it.
By the way, speaking of John McCain, did you see Cindy McCain pose for an ad endorsing pro-gay marriage in California?
Yeah. Yeah, it, you know, it's that no-hate duct tape thing that's going around the internet.
Mouth that says no H8. Right.
Hal Sparks posed for one as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe somebody
they're a gay rights group challenging Prop 8. John McCain's office issued a statement saying the senator respects the views of members of his family but remains opposed to gay marriage. Yeah, it says McCain believes, quote, marriage is only defined as between one man and one woman, or in his case, one man, one woman, and then a used car dealer that his wife is banging.
You know, on this,
according to the tabloids, I you know.
On the Cindy McCain thing, I'm not all that happy about it.
Why?
Because, you know, it's brave for her to do it now. It would have been a hell of a lot braver to do it during her husband's campaign when he came out in support of Proposition 8.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't.
Dopey, angry husband.
It doesn't do us a lot of good now. You know, thanks for posing for it, but where were you a year and a half ago? Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah, but then John McCain would have exploded.
Well,
messy. Yeah, exactly. If you had a husband with an anger management problem like that, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just not all that happy about this.
She would have a cast in both arms, I think.
Jim Ward, you repeating those silly rumors. 28 minutes
Which
left
silly
the
rumors?
What's
Cindy
that?
McCain, when she remember had that cast of her on. People were.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
Oh,
I know.
Yes.
Wonder if,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Dan in Iowa, my trucker friend on healthcare. Hello, Dan.
Omaha Mooks. In response to that caller from last hour that started whining about how we have to get these, you know, non-cooperative Democratic senators to vote the way we want them to. No, we don't. All we got to do is what George Bush and the Republicans did to get his tax cuts through is go to reconciliation.
Yep.
And you Lieberman and
set it off the top
Nelson
of the show.
Landers,
yep.
You,
yeah.
That's what they could call him. That's what I was saying off the top of the show, Jim, that Howard Dean said. George Bush would have had health care by now. You know, use reconciliation. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Whatever. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This show is just the interruption of a good bagel. That's all it is for me.
Yeah, the bagel that you were late for the last segment for.
1-800-STEP-1-2.
I hope it's good enough.
It was worth it. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Jim, I have a very apropos guess the quote for you today. Who said, if the Democrats run for cover, if we become pale carbon copies of the opposition, we will lose and deserve to lose. The last thing this country needs is two Republican parties. Who said that?
Martha Coakley.
A spectacularly bad guess. That was the late Senator Ted Kennedy. Ironically enough, who's spinning furiously as we speak. I think particularly when Martha Coakley started to give his speech. No.
No, don't, just don't.
Don't do it. Ugh. Yeah. She's, oh
Shut
boy,
your pie was... hole! That's what he wanted to say.
Boy. Scott Brown, according to Politico, has turned this town upside down. Usually the tendency among political reporters and operatives alike is to overreact and overinterpret elections. And there are caveats to the stunner in Massachusetts. Yes, it was a special election, which often produces unusual results. Yes, Democrat Martha Coakley ran a timid, sometimes terrible campaign. And it's true, Massachusetts is not as liberal as many people assumed. But there is no way for Democrats to spin losing their 60th vote in the Senate. Senator Feingold, my future husband, I was a little surprised, said it's probably back to the drawing board on health care, which is unfortunate.
I think it is. Enough people are worried about their own seats. Yeah.
Representative Bill Delahunt, Democrat of Massachusetts, said he will advise Democratic leaders to scrap the big bill and move smaller, more popular pieces that can attract Republicans.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Seriously?
Why do we need to attract Republicans?
Do we have to regurgitate it in small, bite-sized pieces now because it's too...
We still have a majority.
We took too long. We took too long.
Bungled it. And by I mean other people other than me. But, you know, it's been an ugly 24 hours of blame casting for Democrats, Politico writes. In fact, it's the first time in the Obama era so many Democrats aired their private grievances in such a public way. The White House blamed Coakley's campaign. Nancy Pelosi seemed to fault Senate Democrats in turn put the blame back on Coakley.
But none of this would have happened if we just done Medicare for All
from
the get-go.
Thank
Got
you.
Got it
yes.
done immediately and moved on.
David Plouffe, who we just had on, who did kind of a bang-up job running the Obama campaign in 2008, said it's imperative that Democrats not back down, calling it a test of our party and whether we are truly ready to lead. Yep, I agree. A voting bloc has swung decisively against Democrats starting this past summer. A review of polling in Massachusetts and in other states nationally shows the same thing. By about 2-1 margin, independents have turned on Democrats. And in my opinion, Jim, it's because Democrats aren't getting done what independents voted us in for. A new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll found 2/3 of independents would prefer Republicans control Congress. The same polls show voters don't even like Republicans. It's in all three big Democratic losses this year, Jersey, Virginia, now Massachusetts, better than 60% of independents said they backed Republicans. I mean, you're right, Jim. That's when you know when you're doing badly. They don't like Republicans, but the Democrats are
Like Democrats even less.
Yeah, they're not doing what, you know, they were elected to do. That, you know, when you look at the polling, like we keep saying, healthcare, overwhelmingly popular a year ago, 70% backed healthcare reform, real healthcare reform, mm-hmm. with a public option. And, you know, after letting the Republicans frame the debate and put these lies after lie mm-hmm. after lie out there, people are tired. I'm tired of the healthcare debate.
Yeah. And Democrats are acting
remains,
like...
Go ahead, Jim.
Democrats
sorry.
Are acting like they agreed with the Republicans. Say, oh, yeah, you're right. That is too much.
Yeah,
okay,
and it's one race in a special election. It just, it's amazing. Obama clearly remains popular at the personal level, a big asset Republicans privately concede could easily help turn things around for this White House in the months ahead. It's similarly clear the Obama magic of 2008 has vanished. His personal popularity plainly is not transferable to other Democrats. You know, so I think that, you know, like I was saying, Jim, Howard Feynman wrote a good piece about what Obama needs to do now, and I think it's part of what Dean is saying. He needs to get tougher.
Right.
And realize that, you know, he ran on a certain thing, but he's not going to get outreach from the other side.
Yeah. They should have figured that out on day one.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, Frank in Cheektowaga, New York, up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport. Hello, Frank.
How you doing, Stephanie? Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been hearing you and Bill Press say about reconciliation, but unfortunately, we're not going to get it. We've got Ichabod Crane running the Senate. He has no courage at all. And where was the president when all this was coming down? He should have been tough. This is what I want in the bill. This is what I want or need.
Yep.
The American people want single mm-hmm. coverage or
yep.
universal health care. And if you
yep.
don't,
Frank,
get on
he
board,
overlearned the Clinton message. You know,
right.
I mean, he stepped back too much. I think, in my opinion,
he ceded too much power to Congress.
Yep,
he should have been Lyndon Johnson and knocked some heads together.
Yeah, here is Harry Reid in one of his patented forceful statements, Jim.
We're not going to rush into anything.
Oh no,
as you've heard. We're going to wait until
yes,
the new senator right. arrives before we do anything more on health care. Remember, the bill we passed in the Senate is good for a year.
I think we should not do anything. We should sit here and take our spankings and wait for the Republicans to tell us what to do.
I hate people.
it's true. He gets even quieter at the end of his sentence. It almost disappears.
Do you want me to bend over further? Should I take my pants down? Okay. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Paulie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks, Stephanie. Stephanie, you know, I don't actually think Jim Ward was tongue-tied over the Senator-elect Brown victory. I think actually what was happening is he was either giggling or feeling guilty that he called you as the master celebrity impersonator he is, acting as Kevin Bacon so his Confederate could get your New York apartment room key.
Thank you,
got
Paulie. Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, or the dog walker knows an incredible impersonator that just called my, and I gave her the key to my apartment, so either all my stuff is gone.
Mm.
But she knows a Jim Dandy.
Or maybe she'll impersonate you, like in Single White Female.
Yeah.
The super will come by and say, no, you're at home.
You know,
I'm just there. You
my
go
nephew
away.
Did point out, though, about Kevin Bacon's recommendation of this dog walker. He's like, didn't he listen to Bernie Madoff and lose all his money?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was like, oh, maybe. He goes, I'm not really sure about his judgment.
Oh, it'd be like a Single White Female. You come home and find your gay neighbor with a stiletto through the eye.
Oh, boy. Bob in San Jose on the election. Hello, Bob.
Oh, Bob couldn't hold on.
All right, then. How about old Frank in Albuquerque? Hello,
yeah,
Frank.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm so sick of these Democrats, progressives, and liberals complaining about President Obama. You know, I don't want to hear about all the volunteering you did during the 2008 election season for Obama. You know, I worked hard, too, but what have you people done since then? You know, the conservatives organized the whole protest movement in a few months.
That's
but
true.
Progressives have been sitting back.
We've been lazy. Yep. That's
well,
what I'm saying. You know, that's absolutely it. Everybody's like, okay,
hey,
we got him elected.
We won,
now,
so we can just...
Yeah.
Coast.
Yeah.
You know,
TV.
Democrats in Massachusetts couldn't even get out enough of a vote to defeat a male nude model, for God's sake.
All right.
Very good point.
Good point, Frank. Thanks
oh,
for calling.
It's snowing. I can't go out and vote.
Oh, I'm sure they're used to snow on Election Day in Massachusetts.
Yeah. I know. You worked that hard to get this guy in, and, you know, I mean, it really is amazing that it just, it's, I think you're, you know, Jim, you said it, like, we're not used to having power.
What's like Stockholm Syndrome?
Yeah.
What? The door's open?
But I can't get away.
Yes, the health care door is open. Go! Not, go!
No.
Run through!
No. I'm not supposed to do that.
No. I'll be fucking in trouble if I try to leave. All right. Oh, I snorted. Pardon me.
You did.
All right. Did I say George and Gary, Indiana? I don't know who I said. Just put somebody on.
It's George and Gary, Indiana.
There we go.
Gary and George, Indiana.
Go ahead.
Listen, I've got a way to save the health care bill, win back the base, and pay down the deficit.
What? Well, you should be president then.
Okay, well, listen, I'm a working-class liberal from a working-class town. And by the way, just a little off note, if Evan Bay is a Democrat, I'm a frickin' airplane pilot. So, and he's my senator. Okay, yeah. This is the thing. To save the health care bill, from a working class point of view, if you can't get single payer, you have to eliminate that mandate and the fines, because people like me find that unconscionable. Now, as far as winning back the base and paying down the deficit, what you got to do is bring back something called manufacturing and local farming.
Yeah.
And if you turn food stamp recipients into taxpayers, in the long run, it'll pay down the deficit completely by the middle of Obama's next term. God willing, he gets the next term.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, it's the only way to do this. You have to start paying attention to working class folks and middle class folks, because we're suffering out here.
Yeah.
And I stood in line in early voting in Gary, Indiana. There was lines around the courthouse for 4 days before that Tuesday. And we still have hope here, and we still believe, but it's time to start getting something done.
Yep. No, I absolutely agree. And I agree with our last caller, too, about, sick of, this is what we say, Jim, about the Kyles in the party, the forming the circular firing squad.
I'm not voting for a Democrat ever again.
I didn't tell you this. I had a meeting last night with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I got a letter from his insurance guy yesterday, too, saying because we have this fancy policy, now I can get one on anybody else I want. So I may take out a policy on one of you two and see if I can have you knocked off.
Well, don't kill me because you need me.
Anyway, but and with a couple of publishers, book people that are interested in having me, do a book.
Really?
I know, but you know what the first idea was? It's like an Obama bashing book. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do that book. That's not, but that's the thing. It's like, let's turn on him now. And I don't think that's I think we can stand up for what we believe in and tell him to be tougher and tell him, to fight for stuff, but
Lawrence O'Donnell had an interesting idea yesterday.
Are you kidding? After 8 years of George Bush, really?
Yeah.
You're going to turn on him now and not like our last caller just said, get off your asses in Massachusetts, help him. I'm sorry, Jim.
Lawrence O'Donnell had an interesting idea to get rid of the payroll tax, because I've always said that was very bizarre anyway, taxing people for the privilege of hiring people to work for you.
Right.
So that would immediately get people more jobs.
Right.
People pay more in payroll tax than they do in income tax, and that would be a huge boost to the economy. So,
well, yeah, and also, the jobs bill we've been talking about, Jim, guess how many Republicans support it? Zero. Again.
Yep.
Goose egg. I mean, it's just, that's the thing. You have to look at behind everything they say. They are interested in Obama failing. That's what they're interested in. They're not interested in getting anything done that's good, because the Democrats and Obama won't get credit for it.
It'd be difficult for Republicans to say no to eliminating a tax.
Exactly. All right, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more on all of this, the debate over the fallout from Massachusetts and health care as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Maureen in Chicago on the Massachusetts election. Hello, Maureen.
Hi. I was listening to Rachel Maddow last night, and she was really mad, and she particularly was talking about dropping the nomination for Errol Southers for head of the
PSA. I was just going to talk about that. Typical, right? Errol Southers withdraws due to Republican opposition. We're
going to
get Republican opposition on everything.
Right.
Go ahead.
He's not standing up for anything, and people are mad.
Yeah. You're talking about the president?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
And he's got the power, and he's not using it, and people are dropping off for him.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Maureen, I mean, again, maybe, but I would have to think this is related, Chris, right, to Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's like, oh, you know, so it was, you know, the president's nomination to head the Transportation Security Administration announced he was withdrawing from consideration because his nomination has become a lightning rod for those with a political agenda, as is everything the president has tried to do.
That's politics. And
who was his most vocal opponent? Jim DeMint. Who said health care will be the president's Waterloo? We can break him on this.
I agree. It is my Waterloo. And
he was blocking the nominee, quote, to prevent TSA workers from joining a labor
and
union.
I will be eating both crow and beef Wellington in the future.
The president going for the Lady Bing Award.
Here's one thing I know, I just want to make sure that this is off the table. The Senate certainly shouldn't try to jam anything through until Scott Brown is seated.
Oh, no.
People in Massachusetts spoke.
That'd be rude.
He's got to be part of that process.
And it would be rude.
I will resign as President of the United States.
Be like wearing white after Labor Day or, you know, using the wrong fork. We can't have that in the Senate. Okay. Hey, this one will make you yak.
What?
From Joe Lieberman, douche.
Joe Lieberman,
He just, he really is, he's not a Democrat, independent, Republican. He's the Joe Lieberman party. He's just all about Joe Lieberman. That's really all it's ever been about. After, as you recall, Democrats agreed to drop the public option and the Medicare expansion from the Senate health care bill, he took to the floor to declare his support for the legislation. The fact is, 31 million more Americans will be able to have health insurance as a result of this legislation. It's a giant step forward for our society. Then he goes on Fox News yesterday, like the wiener that he is, and refused to defend his giant step forward for our society without explicitly criticizing the Senate legislation. He said the close election in Massachusetts demonstrates that Americans are skeptical about this health care bill and unhappy about what's happening in Washington.
Frankly,
they're unhappy because of douches like you.
They regret voting for Obama. He's been a failure, and I think he should resign immediately and appoint me as president.
And trust me, if you look at polling in Connecticut, Jim, people get that he is part of the problem with what's happening in Washington. According to a survey from public policy polling, Lieberman has alienated Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. His approval rating stands at 25%.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's hard to
do. Well, it's not amazing, but that's interesting to hear.
Senator Mitch McChinless on the...
The people of Massachusetts had an opportunity to speak yesterday, and they spoke rather loudly that they'd like to see the Congress go in a different direction.
Yes, but Democrats, you're going the wrong way. We are in plain strange...
You're going the wrong way!
What?
You're going the wrong way!
He says we're going the wrong way!
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Terrific.
Thank you.
You're going in the wrong direction. You're going to kill somebody. You're going the wrong way.
25,000 Americans will be back in health insurance next year if, in fact, we don't get any health care reform.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of is the tone in their voice, isn't it, Jim? That's what progressives have been screaming for a year. And they're like, thank you. Okay.
Right. Okay.
Ron in ignore us at your peril. Ron in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I was reading the other day that the insurance company was allowed to put a bait and switch into the Senate bill. Have you heard about that?
No. I don't know what you mean by that. Go ahead.
They were allowed to, they cannot discriminate because of pre-existing conditions anymore, but they're allowed to jack up the rates on anybody that has any kind of an illness like cancer or things like that. They can triple the rates of those people.
Great.
That seems like a good provision. Okay. Senator Jim Webb. Talking about the, the new rules we're playing by.
I don't believe health care is dead, but I don't believe that the Senate should take any more votes until Senator-elect Brown is properly seated.
Yeah, we got to wait till the truck gets here before we can do anything. Okay.
I'm in a state. I hate people today. Good
God. We hate everyone.
Oh,
all right.
Canada, my home and native land.
Shelley in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Shell.
How you doing?
Good.
I have, you know, you guys are very, very, getting very upset over something that has never been there. We have never had a 60-vote majority.
Well, that's true. We
ever.
Lost something we didn't really have anyway, you
no.
know?
And
because of douche like Lieberman.
Of course. Well, not only him, Landrieu and Nelson mm-hmm. and, you know, name four others. But my, I have a theory, and, you know, I like to present it.
Okay.
I believe that the people in Massachusetts knew that this guy was only going to be a senator for less than 2 years, and that they did a warning shot telling us exactly what we have to look for. Because I think in 2 years, if Joe Kennedy or one of the other,
I was going to say they better get a great candidate in there.
Yeah,
the Democrats better wake up.
And I think they can defeat this guy. And I think the people in Massachusetts could just turn their head 180 degrees in a second.
Right.
And I think that they gave us a warning shot, and it's time for us to take care of it.
Yeah, no, I that's what I was saying. Congresswoman Schultz, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was saying, you know, I would rather have this wake up call now. You know,
yeah.
Then let the whole election take us by surprise, right? Chris?
You know what? I agree with you there, and I agree with Congressman Wasserman Schultz there. Absolutely.
Yeah, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me did say that. He had said, at the time it was heresy, but he said that he hopes she loses. So the Democrats, you know, it shakes things up and, you know, well, wakes Democrats up. And
it sounds like the big boss is playing chess and not checkers.
You just say that because he signs your paycheck.
Well,
yes, sir, Mr. Big Boss. Yes, sir, Mr. Spacely. You're right. Just a little FYI, he voted for Lieberman. Lives in Connecticut. Ugh.
Whatever.
All right. 58, in terms of his judgment. 58.
No.
And he put me on the air.
Yeah.
I rest my case. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World Celebrity Stack and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Not really.
No, not today. Not today.
We're not going to take it. All right, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, that website. Check it out. Don't forget, Mama will be on Larry King Live tonight on CNN. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Carbonite. Mama loves her some Carbonite. Carbonite Online Backup, a must for my computer. It should be for yours, too. Don't wait. Back up your computer today for a 15-day free trial. What do you have to lose? Plus, you get 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie.
Awesome service.
Awesome. All right. Lots to get to today. We are joined, first of all, by Representative Ron Kind, Democrat of Wisconsin, right out of the box here. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Glad to be with you.
You too. So, you know, we've been having discussion, everybody's been having, obviously, in the wake of Massachusetts. And, you know, I don't know what your take is on it, but I have to tell you what I'm hearing over and over again. It's, you know, it's because, and you and I have had this conversation about health care, the Democrats are not fighting hard enough. It's not that, you know, we've tried bipartisan outreach, haven't we, for a year, and we've gotten nothing from the Republican side. Do you agree with Howard Dean that, you know, we need to just be tougher and that George Bush would have had health care done by now?
Well, listen, regardless of the outcome of an election in Massachusetts, the health care crisis that exists in the country isn't going away. You know, these rising costs are going to cripple more families, more businesses, more public budgets. So the option of doing nothing, you know, the status quo is clearly unsustainable. But here's my point. Listen, Scott Brown won in Massachusetts with a majority vote, fair and clear.
Mm-hmm.
But the question I have from a lot of people is, why isn't majority votes enough for things to get done in Washington? You got this archaic 60-vote rule in the Senate, so you have the minority capable of blocking anything and everything, which they have chosen to do. Mm-hmm. They figured out that being the party of obstructionists and hell no is a pretty good political strategy right now,
mm-hmm.
but it's paralyzing the United States Senate and their ability to do anything.
Well, I agree, and I think that what I was saying, we never really had a supermajority. somebody. I mean, when you have to bow to the likes of Joe Lieberman and take out the best, most popular parts of healthcare, you know, and then what you end up with is something. No wonder the American people have soured on this whole idea of healthcare reform.
And listen, when it was under President Reagan, President Bush, simple majorities was enough to pass their agenda. They did it through reconciliation, whether it was the two large Bush tax cuts, the prescription drug bill that was $1.2 trillion over 10 years, and not a nickel of it paid for. That was simple majority votes.
Congressman,
and a lot of arm twisting.
Right. Let me ask you the simple question then. Why don't Democrats have the brass ones? why have they let this drag on for a year and let the Republicans frame the debate and lie about health care over and over?
I think the Reed Massachusetts all about health care might be the wrong approach. There's a lot of anxiety. I mean, the economy's not on track. We're not creating jobs right now. People are very anxious and fearful of their own jobs and what the future looks like. But I think there was also a clear message from Massachusetts, and I'm hearing it in western Wisconsin, that business as usual in Washington is not acceptable. These backroom side deals with Senator Nelson or with labor unions in order to get the final vote just doesn't wash. It doesn't cut it with the average person.
Right. And well, that's what I'm saying. Why are Democrats respecting the 60-vote rule when the Bush administration didn't?
Well, that's a good question, and I think the Senate leadership needs to have a come-to-Jesus meeting on that very point. Mm-hmm. But I also think, you know, trying to do something now fancy and try to jam the Senate-passed bill through would be perilous. I think it would be viewed as very arrogant. There's a lot of good things that we can still accomplish with health care reform. I mean, just the insurance reform provisions of pre-existing conditions, this policy of dropping people from coverage when they get sick or injured, these annual and lifetime caps that ruin people and drive them into mm-hmm. bankruptcy. You know, the old patient bill of rights that passed with some bipartisan support in 1999, 2001, that hasn't gone away either. And we should be looking at that. Some of the delivery system reform, where I think there's wide bipartisan agreement, so we have a more efficient healthcare delivery system than we have. And of course, I think that the big one, and this is the tough one, I understand that, but I think the key to successful healthcare reform is changing the way we pay for healthcare so we get away from these volume-based payments and start rewarding the quality, the outcome of care that's given. Given studies showing that we're spending up to $800 billion on tests and procedures that don't work, and that's one thing that's driving healthcare costs up astronomically, making it impossible to people to afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there are some things we can look at that's part of this healthcare package. But we have to simplify it. No more 2,000-page monstrosities that the average person can't read, can't understand. I think we're going to have to break this down and simplify some of the reforms that need to take place so the average person
right.
on the street in western Wisconsin understands what's going on and how it's going to impact their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what, obviously, you know, that's what the debate is at this point, right? You know, either having the House pass the Senate bill, which doesn't, as you're saying, look likely, correct?
Yeah,
or to break this down into like you say, these simpler, you know, components that would be easier to pass, presumably.
You know, and if my Republican colleagues want to say no to ending the pre-existing condition ban, if they want to say no to allowing price negotiation with pharmaceutical companies, something we already do through the veterans' health care system, if they want to say no to those measures, fine. Let them vote no, but let them explain to their constituents why they're not standing up, you know, for the people that they're representing.
Yep.
And they're siding with powerful special interests again.
Yeah, I agree. We have to be smarter politically then. You know,
when that prescription drug bill passed 6 years ago, they had language in it specifically making it illegal for a federal official to even discuss price with the pharmaceutical companies. And the chairman of the committee who rammed that thing through Congress is now the CEO of the pharmaceutical industry. I think
mm-hmm.
the American people need to know,
right.
you know, a little bit of this and what's going on in Washington. But I think there was a clear message coming out of Massachusetts. They don't like the way deals are being cut, how business is being conducted in Washington. And I think it's going to be important for the Democrats in the majority to heed that lesson and start cleaning up
mm-hmm.
The way we're trying to conduct
well,
business.
Right, and I'm for getting something done, Congressman. I mean, your colleague, Bob Menendez of New Jersey, said, you know, of Republicans, you can't dance with someone if they're not willing to dance with you. He called Republican complaints that Democrats wrote a partisan bill pretty lame when they've made political calculation that their path to victory is to have the president fail. So,
yeah.
you know, but instead of one big bill, what they're talking about is breaking it into chunks, passing it over time.
Yeah.
Jim Clyburn said Medicare wasn't done in one fell swoop. You lay a foundation and you get things done over time. I mean, right. So that's what you think is going to happen?
But again, it's greater than health care. I mean, the whole financial reform legislation we've been working on is in jeopardy right now because of the 60-vote rule. And my goodness, I mean, if we haven't learned the lessons of the last financial meltdown, we've got to figure out a way to get the referees back on the field, making sure that people are playing by the rules and that Main Street is well represented. And yet the Republicans are saying no to any type of financial reform, saying leave the big banks alone. They know what they're doing, and they have learned no lessons from the financial catastrophe that we're still pulling out of in this country.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what's ironic about the, you know, the Scott Brown, man of the people, guy that drives a truck. I mean, he's all the big Wall Street banker guys behind him. They've got a friend in Scott Brown, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
you know, that's...
And interesting today that the news just broke. The Supreme Court has just ruled that they're going to lift the ban on corporate contributions, corporate ads in these political campaigns.
That's maddening.
Johnny Barr the bank now, because corporate America will be playing in all these elections with no limitation on how much they can spend or what they can say, and it's a whole new era this Thursday.
Corporations über alles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ironic, right? That the people in Massachusetts said no more, you know, business as usual, and the Supreme Court today just said, hey, business as usual, only more.
Well, you think these big banks have influence now? You think these large pharmaceutical and insurance companies have influence now? I mean, with the Supreme Court ruling, it's a whole new political world out there.
Yeah. Well, you know, and again, many of us saw this coming. I mean, John Roberts couldn't be, you know, a lot of these Bush appointees couldn't have been bigger friends of the corporate, you know.
And again, it's harder to connect the knots here, but that's why elections matter. That's why who's in the White House, who's appointing Supreme Court justices have a huge impact on all of our lives. And this is just one example, I'm afraid, we'll be seeing more of Supreme Court decisions siding with powerful special interests in this country rather than the common person who needs a little bit more help and a little bit more protection against these larger forces in life.
And, you know, Congressman Kind, I hope we've been talking about that all morning, that I hope the lesson we take from this is it's a wake-up call that, you know, all of us that work so hard to get the president elected, you can't sit on the couch in Massachusetts. I mean, you got to wake up. And you know, if we're going to get anything done that we fought so hard for, we got to keep fighting, right?
Yep, we do. And again, I think the Senate really has to come down to some hard decisions because, obviously, a supermajority to sneeze just doesn't cut it in our democracy. And the point that I started with, you know, look, Scott Brown won fair and square with a simple majority in Massachusetts. It's going to have a huge impact on all of our lives. Part of the reason he won is because he said, listen, we got universal coverage. Screw the rest of the country
in regards to
health care reform.
Yeah, we don't want to pay for theirs.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it was a simple majority that decided that, so I think we got to get back to why simple majorities in the House and the Senate can't also make decisions.
Yep, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Representative Ron Kind of the great state.
That would also deleverage, you know, the Ben Nelsons and the Joe Lieberman's of the world and bring a sense of fairness back in.
Anything that would involve seeing Joe Lieberman's face on camera less, I'm for. thank you, Senator, or excuse me, Congressman Kind. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
All righty. There we go. I know I sometimes give them a promotion. I just made him a senator because I said so.
Hmm. Although they are, you know, equal members of Congress, you know, congressmen and senators. So I don't know if it's a promotion, but yeah.
There's actually more bad news.
Oh, good, Jim. Thank you. What else is happening?
Oh,
good.
Well, this from, Unsilent Generation, information and commentary on the politics of aging for pissed off progressive old folks because we're not dead yet. Obama cuts deal to reduce Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Hopes for any pretense of liberal change from the Obama administration collapsed yesterday, and not only because of the election in Massachusetts. While the Massachusetts voters were casting their ballots to install the upstart Scott Brown to Ted Kennedy's seat, the White House is hammering out a closed-door deal to cut entitlements. Obama won the support of Democratic leaders for a plan to issue an executive order that would inevitably lead to reductions in Social Security and especially Medicare and Medicaid. So not only do we not get Medicare for all, we're getting less Medicare than we have now.
The budget deficit. I hate people. I just hate people.
Yeah.
What happened to the happy clappy liberal show?
Screw that.
Screw that. Screw everybody.
We're going to have to change back to the old theme song.
All right. The good news is, you know, George Schlatter, my buddy, my pal, he created Laugh-In, you know.
Oh, that's
big
right.
fan of the
yes.
show, and particularly yesterday's show. Steph, love yesterday's show. You're having a great time. I love the burps, and I wonder, can a bit of flatulation be far off? I think next time Hal comes in, we may have to add that. So you can see that on
Rented
video.
George Schlatter when I went to see the Bill Maher show with
He's brilliant. He knows his comedy.
He does.
18 minutes after the hour.
He hired Joanne Worley for crying out loud.
Listen,
that's enough right there.
All right. Don't you have some Joanne Worley you can play for me, don't you? Don't you have her singing something?
Interesting.
Oh, God.
Stop it.
I don't know.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, my God. That's like my favorite show ever.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Representative Nancy Pelosi.
Heeding the particular concerns of the voters of Massachusetts last night, we heard, we will heed, we will move forward with their considerations in mind. But we will move forward.
I hate people. Forward or downward?
But we will. It's like when they on the plane when they tell you to put your seat back forward, to put your feet back forward. Like George Carlin used to say, do they mean one time or a lot of times? That's the Democrats. Back forward. Oh, what? Like seriously, you know, it's one special election. That doesn't mean the entire country feels. That's what's amazing to me is how fully behind health care reform the American people were. Until we bungled the bejesus out of it. Representative Anthony Weiner from New York.
I think that the Senate bill passing as a standalone measure in the House, not only probably doesn't it pass, I'm not sure it should.
Representative Bart Stupak.
Douche.
Democrat of Michigan.
And I know leadership has floated the idea over the weekend that let's just take the Senate bill and just vote on it in the House floor. I bet it wouldn't get 100 votes.
Yeah, I agree with
him there.
That's
the problem, is that doesn't seem like that's going to happen. It's just, you know, it's because of people like him. Excuse me, I'm sorry, but it's people like him, you know. Don't you think, Jim? It's the moderate Democrats that have gotten us in the trouble that we're in.
Yeah, whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
All right.
I feel the same way, Stephanie. I feel exactly the same way as Jim.
Dave in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys. Great show today, especially. And, I feel like Jim now, too. I didn't when I called in. I called full of pissed.
But we've broken your spirit. Good. Our work is done here, then.
No, it's not you. It's that news about the Supreme Court allowing campaign contributions, because that's the big issue. You know, the problem that underlies all our problems, health care, the environment, blah, 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 getting anything done, is that money has poisoned the well. This is no longer a country of the people, by the people, for the people. The corporations have bought our government.
Corporations,
you bought
us.
And that's the big issue, and that's why health care is so important. We have to win. It's the first battle in this real war to wrest our government back for the people.
Dave, I wonder if we can pass something that at least they have to look like NASCAR drivers. They have to have, like, you know, which corporations plastered everywhere on every square inch of them.
Fox News, the mainstream media, it's not going to fly. That's the other problem. This screen, this filter, people can't get the truth except for shows like yours, but you have to be proactive and go find shows like yours.
Yeah, Dave, that's a sad state of affairs in America when a little fart joke radio show is we're pretty much the only place left to get the real news.
And guess whose stocks are up? The healthcare industry.
Of course,
because now that the healthcare is going down, their stock is going up. Yeah. Pfizer
right,
and Merck are really happy right now.
Kellyanne in Chicago on the Supreme Court breaking news as well. Hello, Kellyanne.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I want to pound my head into my refrigerator right now. Crazy. This is crazy. I think the responsibility for all of this lies solely at Obama's feet. He went into this election promising a public option, just like Congress. Where is it? It was never there.
Yeah, so, well, unfortunately, I don't blame Obama for the Supreme Court thing. I blame the George Bush nominees, but go ahead.
Well, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I do blame the George Bush nominees for the Supreme Court problem. But don't you just see Cheney, like, sitting somewhere and rubbing his hands together and twisting his mustache going, now we've got him. It's like Obama was just a brief reprieve in the history of the Republicans just steamrolling down all the middle class people.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks, Kellyanne. Thanks for calling. Yeah,
Kellyanne.
I that's the way I always picture Dick Cheney, don't you? Just rubbing his hands. Like Mr. Burns from Simpson. He heard the Supreme Court ruling this morning, and he thought...
My evil plan is nearly complete.
Excellent.
Exactly. That's exactly what he said. Oh, boy. All right. So the plan, I guess, in talking to Congressman Kind, is that we're going to break the health care bill down into bite-sized digestible pieces. Like a mother bird, and then regurgitated into... Yeah,
isn't that what you do on this show? You break
the
news down into digestible pieces for the listeners, and then feed...
Yes. Well, in fact, we're going to do that next. Right Wing World is coming up next.
Yeah.
We don't want you to eat that whole. You need that in little bite-sized pieces that can be easily mocked so they can be understood.
Yeah. I'm the daddy bird here. I'm the one who digests it.
Reggie in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Steph? You know, I just wanted to say, you know, it's funny how, you know, Bush got 6 years and the Republicans before they started, you know, independents started getting a little upset about that. You know, here we are a year into this, and, you know, people are already starting to get mad and impatient. And, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I know, and you know, it can't be said enough, Reggie. A lot of this is stuff he inherited. I mean, granted, you know, we've made some mistakes here, but it's just, I mean, seriously, I'm going, wow, was it that long ago you've forgotten how bad it was?
Yeah, exactly.
Under Bush Cheney?
Yeah, you know, another problem the Democrats have, too, is, you know, people need to start get out and vote, you know, in the primaries.
Yep. I know, exactly. Thank you, Virgil. That's exactly it. Oh, it's a special election. It's Ted Kennedy. See, we don't have to, you know, and then suddenly it's like, what happened? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
thinks that she has the key to popularity, parking in cars with the boys at night. When Jerry brags about taking
Stephanie Miller
out, he learns that she dates all the boys, and he feels less important.
I love that.
She's a slut.
Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPHANIE, phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, here's a tip maybe for us as the Democratic Party or maybe on health care. John Mayer said on Tiger Woods, if Tiger Woods only knew how to jack off, I have masturbated myself out of serious problems in life. Can we masturbate our way out of this problem?
I'm going to try. I'm going to take it for the team. And.
Oh, honey, you could masturbate your way out of every problem. Oh, boy.
I've been working on that for over 40 years.
How's it going? You're still practicing.
Takes your mind off things.
It's like golf. You got to practice to be really good at it.
Sure.
Okay.
Got to get your grip right.
All right. Let's. Exactly.
Hey, you started
it. Same thing as golf. The grip is. It's all in the grip, in the kung fu grip. Okay, let's dive into the right wing world, shall we? I can see the way you're looking at me, even on Skype. Okay.
All right.
You're such a schoolmarm.
Well, okay. I'm not sure you could say the word jack off on the air.
No, no, you said it twice.
You repeated it, should you? All right. I was reading a direct quote from Rolling Stone magazine.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, I should read direct quotes from Matt Taibbi. Every fifth word starts with an F.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's got a bit of a filthy mouth.
All right. Brit Hume on the Brit Bear. It's huge in Massachusetts.
I think this is huge, and it will extend well beyond health care. Anybody running, Democrat or Republican, for Congress this year has got to look at the Massachusetts verdict and say, if that man with that agenda in these times could be elected in that state, then any Republican can run anywhere, and every Democrat has to be worried.
Okay. Yeah, well, if they're running against Martha Coakley, sure.
Well, whatever you say. Okay. How far should I bend over?
We should be more scared. Okay.
All right.
How much farther should he bend over?
Let's not do anything.
Charles Krauthammer with the old, hey, we're a center-right country, you know.
This was a center-right country, even in Massachusetts, repudiating a left agenda. This is not rocket science. It's about substance. It's not about anger. Every time the Republicans succeed, it's all about anger and irrationality. Of course, if Obama wins in 08, it's hope and change and peace and light and all the goodness in the American soul. This was an election about substance, and the Democrats lost on substance.
They lost because they didn't go left enough.
Yeah, exactly.
They were conceding and bending over to Republican wishes. That's why it's unpopular.
Yeah, and not getting anything done. Exactly. Steve Hayes on the Brit Fair.
One thing that you do see from the White House, as reported in the New York Times today, they have decided that they are going to remake Barack Obama as a populist. It doesn't make any sense.
Remake him?
It's not going to work. This is the same guy who on Sunday mocked Scott Brown for driving a pickup truck. And talk about something that has resonance out in the country. It wasn't just that he mocked Scott Brown for driving a pickup and that he said everybody can buy a pickup truck, or everybody can buy a truck, which suggests that Obama's looking at this strictly through a political prism.
He didn't mock him for driving a truck. He said, maybe you don't want to get in that truck. It won't go where you think it's going, or it'll take you in the wrong direction, is what he said.
That's the Republican spin, because that phrase...
Yeah, elitist. He was mocking the truck. It's like,
that phrase that Steve Hayes just said was on every single Fox News primetime show last night.
It's part of the, he's the big elitist, whatever. It's like, he made a little joke about the, maybe that truck's not going in the right direction. Whatever. Okay. O'Reilly on the... He's got a, Jim, it's liberal nonsense, apparently, that Obama is...
President Obama must stop the liberal nonsense. The American people want to be protected. They want the economy to get better. And they don't want a trillion-dollar health care plan nobody can understand. That isn't complicated. Independent voters who will decide most elections in the future are simply angry that far-left policies are
left?
In play.
Far left?
Yeah.
What about that is far left?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about Medicare for all?
That's simple. We took out the public option, Medicare expansion. That's the problem. It can't be said enough. They went too far to the center on the healthcare.
They're past the center. They're in the right territory now.
Yeah.
The Democrats are now where the Republicans were 40 years ago.
Yeah, I know what we should do. Let's take some advice from Frank Luntz now.
Oof. What the Democrats need to realize is that old campaign of trying to blame this on Bush-Cheney doesn't work when it's now been a year since Bush and Cheney were in office, that the people of Massachusetts who voted overwhelmingly for Barack Obama still believe that this administration now should be held accountable for what's happening right now in the economy.
Yes, because they haven't done enough. By the way, Frank Luntz is looking like crap now he's grown a beard out.
That's a little catty sidebar.
Well.
All right, Hannity on the Obama's...
I doubt very much that this is how the president had envisioned being celebrating his one-year anniversary since his inauguration. Now calls for change have once again filled the air in this country, and Americans are sending a clear message to President Obama and his allies in Congress. They are demanding less spending, more transparency, and a new direction for our nation.
The times they are changing back, as Bob Roberts once said.
Yeah.
Remember Bob Roberts, Tim Robbins movie?
Yes, I do. I love that movie.
So you mean he would like back the transparency of the Bush administration and the how they didn't spend anything or leave us any deficit? He would like that back, that new direction. Yeah, this is.
You're working three jobs. That's great.
This is overstating. I mean, in my case, this is, of course, what they're going to do. It's so overstating one special election in Massachusetts where we had a really bad candidate, the whole American people want this now,
But that's our own damn fault for putting someone so crappy up.
Yeah.
But the Democrats are buying.
We were talking about this, here's what we needed to do. We need to have our TSA nominee withdraw because Republicans don't like him.
Now, Scott Brown's victory isn't the only bad news for the White House today. Its nominee to lead the Transportation Security Administration, Errol Southers, also withdrew from consideration. Now, Republicans say that during his testimony, Southers misled Congress about an incident in which he inappropriately accessed a confidential federal database. He was looking for dirt on his ex-wife's boyfriend. Ouch. Now, let's hope the next nominee doesn't spy on you and may actually pay his taxes. Just a thought.
Gee, who instituted all that spying? Oh, that was a Bush administration.
Yeah.
because he made a mistake, whatever, 20 years ago.
Right.
You know why? It's because he might accidentally help unions, and that would,
That's exactly
be the
why.
Worst thing that could happen. To...
And you know what? If you don't want the government to spy on you, repeal that frickin' Patriot Act.
Yes.
Yeah, that got passed through, what's the thing? Oh, reconciliation.
Well, it also got passed because of the anthrax scare. The anthrax letters went to the offices of Tom Daschle and Patrick Leahy, who were going to be reviewing the Patriot Act before a vote on it.
Right.
And they couldn't do it because of the domestic anthrax attack.
But, what a weird coincidence.
You know, barring that, since we have had a majority, a huge majority in both the House and the Senate, why hasn't that piece of crap been repealed?
Because Republicans will call us weak on terror and security and stuff.
We're not weak. All right. We'll do whatever
we
want.
So we give up our personal freedoms
for that.
We
don't need freedom. We need safety.
Here's one piece of, we'll end with one piece of good news in right wing world, and that is.
Oh, yes. This is hysterical.
Glenn Beck thinks that Scott Brown that could end with a dead intern.
Yeah.
I want a chastity belt on this man. I want his every move watched in Washington. I don't trust this guy. No, I'm just telling you.
It's just a creepy moment.
No, this one could end with a dead intern.
He's trying to come up with
this one could end with a dead intern. I'm just saying. Congratulations. Now let's monitor him.
Hey, my daughter.
Let's put an ankle bracelet on him. Let's just know where he is at all times.
You're right.
Yeah, he's got to be the next Republican sex scandal.
My
right?
daughters are available, and they're hot. Look at him, huh? Shake it for daddy. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
He also, Glenn Beck said, Brown posed naked in Cosmopolitan magazine back in 1982. Really? I question the judgment of a man who thinks anyone wants to see the male body naked. 100% of Americans agree naked males should never, ever be seen, ever. Well, at least not you, Doughboy. But all right. I'm guessing that Squint and the Meat Puppet won't play that clip. Will he, Chris?
No, not at all.
The whole dead intern thing was a little too close to home.
What, with Squint? Yes.
Sanchez in Montebello. Hola, ¿qué tal? Adios mio, my friend.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still too busy trying to masturbate my troubles away.
Please, it's the official recommendation of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That and Patron Reposado Tequila. I just wanted to explain something here. The first caller at the bottom of the hour here was going in the right direction as far as the Supreme Court decision today. Now, that is most troublesome, and it's probably the main reason why, although it makes all the common sense in the world why the Democrats should now do reconciliation, they never will. The explanation, if they did, all of their corporate campaign donations would immediately dry up. And we all know how beholden most Democrats are to campaign contributions by the corporatocracy. Mm-hmm. So because of that one fact, it's not going to happen. Although I would love for it to happen. I would love to be under medical insurance at this point, but it's just not going to happen.
I want to read the Supreme Court's explanation, Sanchez. And why is this good for America? Why is this good for our democracy? Exactly. Explain why this should be okay. All right. Thank you, honey. John in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
He was just asking you why.
Yeah, he was.
What?
Porque means why.
Why? Yeah, but
to what end? For what reason?
Exactly.
Yeah, John is no longer there, unfortunately.
Okay, then. Gene in New York, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Supreme Court ruling as well. Hi, Gene.
Better. Well, you were talking about something you were hearing all the time on Fox News. I want four words out of every Democrat's mouth on every cable news show and on every Sunday show. The four words are, they lied to us. They being Justices Alito and Roberts, who during their confirmation hearings under oath, I would remind you, said that they would uphold previous Supreme Court rulings, stare decisis. They overturned a previous Supreme Court ruling. I just got off the phone with a friend of mine in Washington who is a conservative and a constitutional lawyer who said to me, and I quote, this is the sort of behavior that impeachment was meant to correct.
Wow.
Ah, yep. Oh, very good. Thank you, honey. I appreciate it.
Not going to happen, but that would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look at this, everybody. The Scott Brown stock rally continues. The Dow is down 226 points.
I just saw that. Holy crap.
Yeah, remember the stock market is going to go through the roof. Your 401k was going to be worth $1 zillion once Scott Brown got in there.
You know what would make that better?
Pardon me?
You know what would make that better?
Pardon me?
You know what would make that better?
What?
Joanne Worley.
Okay, now everything's better. You know what I'm saying?
You want to get
now everything is better. Massachusetts, the Supreme Court ruling. Oh, 46 minutes after the
we gotta,
hour.
We got to see if we... I think we've tried to book her before. We got to see if we can get her on.
You're welcome, everybody. 46 minutes after the hour, Celebrity Stack is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation Instant Bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Friday, 51 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Train.
Greatest.
You will not want to miss a moment of tomorrow's show.
Why?
We have all 3 hours with John Fugelsang live in studio here with me in New York, and former Governor Elliot Spitzer.
Cool.
Along.
Awesome.
Along with Joan Walsh of Salon Magazine, who we've been trying to get on forever, whom I love.
That's right.
All right. So a very, very exciting time at the big show. Dave in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Dave.
Yes. Yes. Well, they have to put me on first, Bob. I very much would like to congratulate Senator-elect Scott Brown for his victory. I'd like to congratulate the Republican Party for electing their first Brown person. Well, I mean, his name is Brown, and that's close enough. But seriously, folks, if you notice the technique that these guys instituted, they did a Blitzkrieg-style campaign real close to the election so that all of a sudden the voters got familiarity with this guy. They did the same thing with Sarah Palin in a way. They announced her so close to the election that people didn't have a familiarity, and they thought it was great before all the information came out about them.
He is a pretty shiny thing like she is. Well, all right, honey, thank you. Celebrity stock, Jim, Tiger Woods apparently is in a sex rehab clinic in Mississippi.
Really? Huh.
I guess that's where all the best sex clinics are. I don't.
When I think sex rehab clinics, I really don't think Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's
Their programs rely heavily on group therapy sessions as well as family and couples therapy.
Well, so, you know,
good place to meet nymphomaniacs.
But... according to Britain.
Wasn't there a movie like that?
Yeah. Well, there was an episode of Cheers with Ted Danson.
No, there was a movie like that, and then you could see everybody was like out doing it in the parking lot after the meetings. Cause, you know, because they're all...
Must have been one of those movies from the 60s that you keep quoting.
Oh, shush.
You know...
I know what I'm talking about. I'll think of it.
Yeah, Brit Hume says that all Tiger needs to do is come to Jesus. Then he'd be fixed.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't he just do that?
Yeah, sounds like he's already was getting a little religious with quite a few women.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Can I have my squeezy music, please? Jim, this is a job for squeezy. Kylie Minogue says she's attracted to women.
Kylie Minogue,
pardon me. She says, I've been attracted to some women. I'm a sexual exhibitionist, and part of me is a natural flirt.
Okay.
She says, I'm attracted to women, but I've never done anything with them. You could do a little, you could have an instructional or something, couldn't you? You could help.
Roofies would help.
What's that?
Roofies would help.
Jim!
Jim!
The Stephanie Miller Show does not advocate roofies to get a date.
Yes. No.
I'm just saying, many, you know, women who wanted to get busy with Kylie Minogue.
She admitted being attracted to Tallulah Bankhead.
Oh.
She once said, I'd go gay for her. Well,
really?
She's a dead lesbian, so that's that's probably not a good place to start.
No.
Okay.
There are plenty of live lesbians.
No. I'd start with someone alive.
Better looking than Tallulah Bankhead.
Maybe it's a way to not really be gay. Okay. Amy Winehouse pled guilty to drunkenly assaulting a theater manager at a family Christmas show.
Amy Winehouse? Really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. I know. This is in the no Sherlock pile. The judge also gave her a conditional discharge, meaning she will avoid further punishment if she stays out of trouble for 2 years. Anyone want to posit a guess whether she'll stay out of trouble for 2 years?
I don't know. 2 days, maybe. Yeah. She's too busy.
I think the judge giggled when he said that. All right, if you stand, yeah, what are the chances of that?
She's too busy showing off those boobs, those new boobs of hers.
Yes. Wow, you think my eggs are dusty. Madonna wants to have Jesus Luz baby.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Jesus Luz. That's her 22-year-old Brazilian model lover.
Can she? I mean, she's 51.
She's 51, exactly.
All right.
Jesus had previously said he does not want to get married, though. He said, I am too young to get married. So, but he will apparently try to,
impregnate that. Tap that.
Yeah, you like to do the sound of my eggs coming out. You don't, can you imagine what hers are like. Her eggs kind of, it's like dead egg walking, you know.
Like a sandstorm. Baghdad sandstorm.
All right,
sandstorm.
So Conan O'Brien's getting, what, $30 million to leave, and it looks like tomorrow's the day?
Tomorrow is his last day. And NBC just made it official today.
$30 million severance package. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what ours is for this show, in case we, anything. Mm-hmm. Okay, Jay Leno, he's got his work cut out for him. So now what happens if he doesn't do well? Then what happens?
He may have to sell a few hundred of his cars.
Marissa Hargitay of Star of Law and Order, SVU, one of them. There's a million of them.
Well, yeah.
She says she'll be happy when the Jay Leno show disappears from 10 o'clock because it ruined their numbers.
Yep. Well, I'm sure it did.
He, he almost killed Law and Order, which is impossible to do. They're like cockroaches.
Right.
Yeah. The Democratic Speaker of the California Assembly says Governor Schwarzenegger has been all over the map in recent months and is desperate to turn his image around. He is sort of all over the map. He's been with the White House on climate change, other issues, and now he's been blasting health care, and he's been accusing the federal government of wanting to beat up on California. I find him in his last few months to be pretty desperate to turn around his image, she said. He's an action hero, and he wants to approach political office that way. He wants to be the Terminator. We have to be careful he doesn't terminate California.
Ah! Don't let me terminate you in these kinds of things of this nature. I can do it!
He's already come pretty close, hasn't he? I understand we're having a biblical rainfall.
I don't know what's next. Right now.
Bit of a lull right now.
Yeah, there's a bit of a lull, but we're expecting like 2 or 3 inches today alone. And we've already had,
I got an update from my renters. Not only is it raining several places in my house, but now I'm having electrical problems in various areas
that's not
as well.
Good. Really?
Yes. Yes.
Lights these are different from the ones you warned me about?
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Boy.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everything's going Jim Dandy for Mama.
Yikes.
Okay. Yes.
You're just not meant to be a landlord. I just, you're not built.
I'm coming to live with you in your mud hut.
Be like healthcare. Just bulldoze it and start over.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for us today. Don't forget tomorrow, Governor Elliot Spitzer, Joan Walsh of Salon Magazine, and John Peoples saying all 3 hours. Don't miss it. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.